And as I have been dealing with a number of themes that are dispersed through this book, this morning to consider life and death and our way in, I would suggest we can begin with chapter 15 and verse 24, which speaks of the way of life. The way of life winds upward for the wise. We've seen how the book of Proverbs is a book of collected wisdom, genuinely reflections, man's reflections on life, but man's reflections on life through the lens of God's law, the applications of God's law. We've been taking a number of weeks, but even then there's great wealth of material in the book. And if you were to go through it more meticulously, you would not find that he steers away from the summary of God's law, which we are more familiar with. These are indeed applications of such as the Ten Commandments. We have looked at a number of other themes. Some of the questions, the big questions that we do face in daily life. Proverbs does deal with specific problems that we face. But it probably goes without saying that we usually need to say those things. It assumes life, which we have not yet really talked about specifically. It assumes that we are alive, and it assumes the things of our lives. But it also has underlying it, you know, the contrast that you will often find in the book. There are those things that lead to life, the way of life, winds upward for the wise. But it also has, as an underlying assumption, the problem of not getting things right, not being wise about them. If man is wise, as in verse 24, he has the way of life. Because there is another way, and he turns away from it. There is the assumption that we have life, how to live it well, but setting out as well the dangers of going the other way. The opposite of life. Proverbs has that, I think, as the heart of all that it has to say. You might say it is the chief objective of all that other advice and counsel that we've looked at. We've talked about money, we've talked about friends, talked about family. How we approach all of these things is in order to fulfill life as it is meant to be. All that other counsel, if we are to handle these matters wisely, according to Proverbs, they contribute to life. The references to life and those things close to it, they're often associated with those other subjects that we've talked about. But if we don't follow the way of wisdom in those things, then we'll be on the path of death and all that belongs to death. And it's those two things that I would focus on for a little this morning. Quite simply, life and death. A significant topic in the book of Proverbs. To talk about life, first of all, gather that together for a few moments, as we've seen there in just in a beginning, a springboard almost, in verse 24, the way of life is a concern to Solomon, to the whole book of Proverbs, including the number of other authors. But as Jesus said, life is more than the body. He said in Matthew 6, is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing. He's saying life is not just about the physical. And Proverbs agrees with that. Proverbs doesn't really talk at all about life in terms of merely breathing or the physical functions of the body. It doesn't really talk about that at all. That's what we have. It's the people who breathe that he's speaking to. It's a bit like when we read in Revelation repeatedly, if you have ears to hear, well, we have ears to hear, well, use them, Revelation says. Christ says, well, we have bodies, we have our lives, the breathing life. Proverbs is saying, now this is the way to use that. That's what you have, we don't need to talk about it. Proverbs does, on a few brief occasions, just very briefly, talk about life in another surface sense, about things going well, just your daily affairs of life, the things you do, and it gives us wise counsel on how to approach these things. Material things, we've talked about money, socially, friends, and so on. But that's not the biggest focus of the book of Proverbs. There's another matter that it speaks about more. It's talking about the whole person. And the Old Testament, very often the word soul is intended in this way. The whole person. And how we need wisdom in order to live out this life, the fullness of our being. And usually Proverbs speaks about it as something that flows from the inside out. That it's in the state of our mind and our heart that the rest of our being prospers. Just a page or two back, if you wanted to look at chapter 14 and verse 30. A sound heart is life to the body. And it goes on, but envy is rottenness to the bones. You see the contrast. And so Proverbs does touch on that at that level in a number of times. And that would lead us as well into its main focus, which is moral and spiritual life. It would be useful perhaps to go back to chapter 10, at verse 16. And remember that the way that in Hebrew, the original language of the Old Testament, poetry was not about rhyme or even about the kind of rhythm that we might be more familiar with, but it was about pairing, and very often it would be two lines were to illuminate each other. And so in verse 16 we have that contrast. One, you have the righteous, and the second line you have the wicked. In the first line, the labor of the righteous, and the second line, the wages of the wicked. And in the first line, what is it that the labor of the righteous produces? It is life. I'm talking about life. The work, the way that the righteous goes about his life. It leads to life. It leads to something full. But the striking thing about this verse is the contrast. The contrast, we would take life and death in contrast. This is saying life and sin. It's highlighting that life is not just about breathing. It's about the spiritual condition of our hearts, which leads to the way that we behave in our lives, the sin that we might commit. It's that contrast that throws up the deeper sense of life that Proverbs is concerned about. The reason I say this is because very often people look at Proverbs, and we don't look at it deeply. We just see it as something that's practical, something that gives us a bit of instruction about how to approach certain things in life, the way that we go about things every day. But this is pointing out to us that Proverbs is actually digging far deeper than that. It's questioning the condition of our hearts, our souls, our spirit, and saying, what is the direction of your life? That's that verse we just looked at. certainly brings to my mind Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, where Paul says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did Paul have this verse in mind? Proverbs only speaks about sin, but sin does lead to death, as Paul expounds. It's not just the death of the body, but it's the death of the spirit, the death of the whole person. But the gift, in contrast, the gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We also recognize, I think, that Proverbs is about wisdom. It's the great theme of Proverbs. And as such, it is the key to the fullness of life. At times, it's even described as life itself, to follow wisdom. In chapter 8, verse 35, whoever finds me, this is wisdom speaking in chapter 8, whoever finds me finds life. You get one, you get the other, because they're no different. Wisdom is life, according to Proverbs, and obtains favor from the Lord. Further exposition, further opening up as to what life really is. It is favor, ultimately favor from the Lord. And bear that in mind as we consider a number of other equivalents that Proverbs uses for life. Chapter 9, it speaks of the way of understanding. Chapter 21, righteousness and mercy. Chapter 19, that it speaks of abiding satisfied. And it's not talking about the food that satisfies. It's more like Psalm 17 speaks, says, I shall be satisfied in your likeness, in your presence, in seeing you and seeing your face, in having God. Favor from the Lord, as we saw in chapter 8. This is the major concern that Proverbs has when it speaks of life, is where is your heart and where is God before you? Proverbs also has several expressions. We've seen one of them in chapter 15, 24, the way of life. It also speaks a number of times of the tree or the fountain of life, much as we sang of in Psalm 46, where God is the river of life in the city. The tree or the fountain of life, they speak of life themselves, don't they? A tree is something that is living and bearing leaves and bearing fruit. It's something that lives. A fountain is something that brings out water, and water is for life, isn't it? It's essential for our lives. Very expressive terms for God's source of renewal. And Proverbs does deal with it again at a number of different levels, but especially in the deeper levels of human experience. An interesting thing about a tree and a fountain, though, is that it's not just feeding on itself. It's pouring out for others. It's one of the very striking things that Jesus speaks about in John's Gospel, chapter 6. He says, you believe on me, out of you, not to you, but out of you will come rivers of living water. It's not just for you. The fullness of life that we have through the favor of the Lord and being in favor with him is something that flows through us, not just into us, but through us. According to Proverbs, it speaks about a tree and a fountain of life. To get this idea across, about life-giving influences towards others. And we've seen that in a number of ways where we've looked at friendship, for example. Not just your friend, how they bless you, but you as a friend. Proverbs talks about and says, this is how you can have a bearing, an impact for good on the lives of others, family as well, and so on. It's not a person who drains life from others, but someone who gives life, who is a conduit, a channel through whom God gives life to others too. Yes, it does hinge on a personal condition. Proverbs goes on and talks about having understanding and wisdom, which is that personal fear of the Lord as the beginning of wisdom, the nourishment of wisdom. And these things speak of that too. The fountain, God is the one who works in us. It's interesting that this is a biblical image, the tree and the fountain or the river. You find it at the very beginning in Genesis. You find it in the middle here in Proverbs. You find it in Ezekiel especially, speaking about the city and the river and the tree of life. And then again in Revelation. But these things remind us that it's not only something to come, not only something that we're waiting for. But if you follow the way of wisdom, you are a fountain of life. Here and now. Receiving life, giving it over, passing it on to others. Psalm 46 speaks of that. Yes, it does seem to have something of a future view. These disasters may happen, we will still know God is our refuge and our strength. But there's a presence to it as well. God is in the midst of that city. The city lives. Even the church today. It's not just something preparing for what's to come. It's evidence of what is. It will come to its fullness one day. But it's here that God is at work. And yes, to be a tree of life, a fountain of life to the world in which we live. Psalm 16 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." The path of life, that's what we have here. As well as the tree or the fountain, you have the way of life, the path of life. And it's not what is often used these days, or it's that way of life or this way of life. It's not descriptive. It's saying, this is the way, like in Isaiah. This is the way, walk in it. This is the way to life. To reach life. Broad is the gate, narrow is the gate, and hard is the way, Jesus said, that leads to life. It's this path of life, but it is life in all its fullness. It's something that maybe I should just remark on when we're looking at an Old Testament passage. I've made a few references to Jesus and to what is to come. In the Old Testament itself, it's never very clear just how clear a concept the writers had of what is beyond physical death. We're not quite clear. What was their view then? But when you look at Proverbs, even if they didn't know, even if Solomon wasn't sure as to what is there after death, physical death. Yet look at the emphasis that he gives on having the favor of the Lord. Look at the emphasis he gives on having life in the Spirit. The emphasis he gives on being life in the world in which we live. That is the here and now. Proverbs reminds us that that is important. That is vital. It is crucial. It is something that we must be engaged with. Not just looking for what's to come. And it's no surprise that there are people who condemn the Christian faith by saying it's all about, how do they say it? Pie in the sky, by and by, something still to come. That's not what it's about. When Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it more abundant," he's not talking about something yet to come. He's not talking about something, just an ongoing future. The more abundant life is the fullness of life that cannot be contained because of him. I remember once the way we did it, I don't remember whether it was making bread or something, but we would go to, we didn't have the little packets of dry yeast, but we would go to a local supermarket, and they would have, in the fridge, they would have bags with dough that had been leavened. And this particular day, I had to get it before going on somewhere else. And I put it in a little cool bag to keep the refrigeration, if you like. When I got home in the afternoon, it had swollen out. Somehow or other, the bag had stretched with it, but it had swollen right out. Well, Jesus said, don't take the leaven of the Pharisees, but let this be the leaven instead. That something, the yeast, tiniest little thing, virtually invisible, but that brings life and swells and swells in every dimension, a fullness of life, abundant life. That really is what eternal life is about. Even as God is eternal, not just timeless, but in every extent. Even now. I think Proverbs reminds us of that. Not so much concerned with what's beyond. What about now? And it can be full. Am I right with God? Am I right with my fellow man? Now. Thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, Christian truth, we do know more. He is the resurrection and the life. We know that there is something beyond this life. But let's remain attuned to life now as well as what's beyond. As I said, the Old Testament, it's not terribly clear just how much people understood as to what was beyond death. But there is a sense in some of the references in Proverbs when we speak about death. That's the other side to this. And we see it in verse 24 of chapter 15. We've talked about life briefly. The way of life winds upward for the wise, that so that he may turn away from hell below. Now again, for us, we would tend to think of perhaps for the clarity that the New Testament gives us. But you know what people say these days? They often say, he was going through hell. I don't like the expression, but there is something of a trace of this, a reminder that just as life here and now can be full, our living and our breathing can also be dreadful. And the way of the wise takes you away from that. Yes, it can be trying, it can be very testing, but as James says, that's for the benefit of your faith. This is something very different. Someone who doesn't see a hope. There's all sorts of trouble. Yes, even with the wealthiest man. He doesn't have life in the Lord. There's only a few references to death and dying in Proverbs that is very clear as a literal expiry, the death of the body. But that shouldn't be a surprise to us. When death first appears in Genesis, chapter 2 and 3, that's what people say about it. How can you depend on this when God says, and that's Satan's lie. God says, you will die the day you eat of it. And Adam lived for 900 years. But he was dead in soul. There was that division from God, which is death. Proverbs is more concerned with that. Concerned with the whole realm in our lives, in society, that is in conflict with that life that we've been speaking about. One of the verses that we didn't read in the middle of that chapter, in verse 11, chapter 15, verse 11, hell and destruction are before the Lord. A reminder that these are in his hands too. But in our translation, hell and destruction is literally Abaddon. Hell is Sheol, and these are words that it's hard to know precisely what the meaning is behind them. But they are speaking of being cut off from God. Sheol is often regarded as something beyond or beyond the death of the body. But destruction is more than that. For some it might suggest that it's annihilation, destruction. But again, as we've said with life, it's about here and now. What about death here and now? And that is what Proverbs is chiefly concerned about. Touches on sickness, which is something that is a companion to death, it's a deterioration of the body, as also in Psalm 116 speaks of the pains of death surrounded me. Pains, but associated with death. There's trouble or calamity in life. Proverbs speaks about times of harm and pain. And pain is not something inherent to man as God made us. Revelation says there will be no more pain. It will be gone. But most of all, as scripture as a whole, Proverbs is concerned with sin. I pointed to one passage earlier which contrasts life with sin. Sin is the missing of the fullness of life that God would show us. Even if you take the law of God, which we've referred to earlier in the service. Why does God give us those stipulations? Why does he give us that framework for life? It's because that is the framework for life. To disobey, to go against them, is a framework for harm, for trouble. It is sin, disobedience. Close companions to death. And biblically, death itself, to be separated from God. Back in chapter 5 of Proverbs, it tells us, he shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. They're parallel lines. The dying is the going astray. Turning away from God's way, which is sin. It's foolishness. Chapter 9, in folly's house, there was wisdom in chapter 8, there's folly or foolishness in chapter 9, and it's already in this life. When someone goes into the house of folly, he does not know that the dead are there. That her guests are in the depths of hell. So you see, when it speaks about hell, it's not just thinking about something beyond the death of the body. It's the condition of our hearts now, the hearts of many. That's what we have to deal with. Today's life, tomorrow's life. Yes, to be prepared for what may yet be before, beyond the death of our bodies. But Proverbs is saying, whatever it is, you won't be ready for it unless you sort it now. Deal with now. Are you walking with God now? Are you on the way of life? Or are you like the wicked man? When he dies, his expectation will perish. Whatever he may have accomplished is gone, it's worthless. Speaking of life and death, Proverbs, with the rest of the Old Testament, doesn't say very much. what is beyond our present breathing and thinking. But it has a great deal to say about the present. It says that there is more to life. Pursue wisdom. Find life, the fullness of it. Even now there's more to it than will be ever known by any of us. How can we be satisfied with where we are? Far less if we choose not to receive wisdom and instruction. Life in today's terms, Proverbs says, we're more than just matter or a bunch of cells joined together. It's not just a matter of chemistry and biology. Life, Proverbs says, is more than the body. The body is more than clothing. True life means paying attention to so much more than just our bodies. And the contemporary focus on our bodies is to lose track, is to obscure very often what it is that does make life worthwhile. It's a very powerful spirit of our age in the West, is body image and the focus that's given to it. It's amazing what you can come across sometimes. A newspaper article about one of the top businesswomen, and she has succeeded in business dealing with cosmetics. And she commented how this is such a booming industry. She gave comparative figures, which I don't have to my fingertips. But there's an incredible, it's billions in the UK that's spent on cosmetics for the sake of body image today. Proverbs says, life is much more than that. And what are you doing about that? What energies are you spending on that? What attention are you giving to that? People speak about being countercultural. This is according to Proverbs. One of the most penetrating ways that you can do that is to get beyond the mere life of the body. To say there's far more, far deeper things, far more valuable things, far more enriching things that you must be seeking after. And Proverbs is the most practical book you could imagine. Why? Just because, as we read in Leviticus, why do you do this? Why do you do that? Why do you not do this? Why do you not do that? Because I am the Lord your God. Why do you deal with money the way the Proverbs says? Why do you deal with friends the way the Proverbs says? Why do you deal with words the way Proverbs says? Because life, real life, is to live in favor with God. What does God require of you? To walk humbly with your God, to pursue mercy and justice, to love them. That's what living is. Otherwise, you're dying. We are blessed in this New Testament age to know that favor with God is possible because of what he has done through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you find that favor, what are you doing with it? What am I doing with it? Where are we going? What is leading us? What is our spirit? Proverbs does give us wisdom to walk on that path of life and so to be even a fountain of life to those many around us. Just so far this morning, I'd ask God to grant blessing as we have come to his word today.